Dear friends, in this weekly discussion on Bhagavad Gita, one of the most important scriptures of the world, very practical in its approach, very ancient scripture and yet very appealing to modern person. Because of its scientific nature, impersonal nature, and the practicality associated with it at every step. In the 9th chapter that we are studying, we saw that how Lord explains that whatever we seek in this world, that is really in Lord, and therefore if you seek Lord, you will find it. If you don't seek Lord, then you do not find anything except frustration. And therefore he is showing that how we pray for various things in this world, and all of that really is within God, and you can get it only with the grace of God. We do not know it, and so we separately pray for various different things. And what happens with that is, although through the grace of Lord we get that, but we do not get the satisfaction or the peace or the true happiness that we were seeking through it, because we are not really holding on to God. For example, somebody is seeking money and one gets the money, but money was not exactly what that person was actually seeking. Was seeking the satisfaction or the happiness that that person mistakenly thought would come through money. So what happens is you get the money, but not what you were actually seeking. It is, therefore, if you seek Lord, then everything will come to you. You don't have to worry about anything else. This is an answer to our query inside. We may not always ask this openly. Sometimes we may, but even if we don't ask, this sometimes or very often bothers us. That if I seek the Lord, and maybe I will get Lord, but then what about my getting other things in life? I was seeking other things also, and I may get God, but then I may miss all these things. So let me divide my life, let me plan my life properly, that let me spend equal time in different pursuits that I have. And for I want to realize God also, so so many, about 15-20 things that I want, let me divide my time equally, whatever is left, I mean, after my sleep and my job, and then for 5 minutes I can think of God. For 5 minutes I will think of my family. For another 5 minutes I will allocate to many other things. It is thus, you know, it will be a very good planned life. One should not be just going only for God. It makes no sense, because maybe God is real, but I want God, but also many other things. Thus what happens is that we go after many different things, and through efforts we get some of those things, but do not get what we were really looking for through those. And we don't get God because God is not one of the things. It is the thing of which all others are illusory manifestations. So if we do not seek God, we really do not get God. We do get the illusory manifestations, but being illusory, the satisfaction also eludes us. We do not get what we were actually seeking. So it is said here that the 19th verse that tapamyaham aham varsham nigrinnamyutsrajami cha amritam chaiva mrityushcha sadasachaham arjuna. That I give heat, I restrain and let loose the rain. I am immortality, I am death, I am manifest and unmanifest also, O Arjuna. That it is all these things that because of me you get the energy. That tapami means I make the heat. Aham varsham, because me of me the rains come. Then I also am the one who restrain. I am the one who is the immortality, and I am the one who causes the death, the coming and going. That is also Lord, and the feeling of immortality that we have, that also is God. This is a strange thing, that the very word death also has its counterpart, that not dying, immortality. It is these two things always come together in this world, that the a concept and its negation both appear to us together. You can never have just one of these. It is, if we have the mortality, we also have immortality. We seek knowledge because we have ignorance. Without ignorance, there is no seeking of knowledge. Similarly, this death is also a concept that gets associated with something that is beyond death. So immortality is also associated with that. That is, if we analyze how the ideas arise in mind, we see that an idea and its negation arise together. If we observe how the thoughts come, they come together. That is what is called sankalpa vikalpa, a thought and its opposite. Both come together, and both of them are they stand or fall together. So mrityu, the death, and its counterpart, the immortality, that also Lord says, I am both the what causes death and what makes us immortal. All these are together in this universe. All is contained in the Lord. It is, Lord is everything, as we the previous verse says, that Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Surat, the 18th verse, that I am the goal, the sustainer, the Lord, the witness, the abode, the refuge, the friend, the source, the destroyer, the support, the repository, and the eternal seed. It is all that Lord says, I am that. This idea that I am the goal, gati. Whatever you are seeking, really, if you stretch it enough, if you go deep enough in that, that will lead to Lord. That is what we are really seeking. And therefore, we are never satisfied by seeking anything else. We find that and then it continues. That is the idea that many times we hear about progress. What is the goal of progress? Goal in the sense of the ultimate progress. What is an ultimate progress? If we look into that, we will see God is the only thing that we can think of as the goal of all progress. If not, every progress gives rise to some more problems. And then you have to deal with them. So there is a funny idea. Swami Vivekananda has dealt with it in many places. The eternal progress or the infinite continuous progress. He says that what does it mean? The progress means the very idea involves a goal, that this is where we want to take it. Then a change that takes us towards it gets called progress. A change that takes us away from it is called regress. But if there is no goal, then you do not really have any criterion by which to judge whether a given change is progress or not progress. So there is nothing like a continuous unending progress without a goal. Progress means it is you arrive where now there is no further progress possible in principle, because that is the ultimate thing that one can seek in life. Ultimate, really in principle ultimate, you attain that oneness. All thoughts, all the perceptions, they are merged in it. You are bliss itself. All desires go away there. All conflicts die there. And thus there is no idea of progress any more than that. Whatever takes us to that, relatively we can call it a progress. Otherwise, every progress that we think of brings its own problems associated with it. And we keep on wondering, was it progress? Like we say, the society has progressed. Yes, it is true. In many ways, the civilization has become, you know, very progressive. We see many changes. But has it brought more happiness in life or not? That is certainly a quite debatable an issue. Is a modern man happier than the persons 10,000 years ago? It is difficult to say whether a person living in cave was not as happy as the person living in a mansion in New York. It is difficult to say. The person living in New York may be living in a very posh, most modern apartment, all connected to the whole world through internet and extranet or whatever, everything is there. But is that person happier? It is very difficult to say that the quantum of happiness, whether it has increased or not. In fact, therefore, the ideas come that we should preserve the environment. On the one hand, we want to change the environment. On the other hand, we want to preserve it. It is a tug of war there. So, the real progress is only in God, the Gati. Similarly, the provider is God, Bharta. The Lord of everything is God. So, and Bijam Avyayam, that is the wonderful concept, the undying seed of everything. We see things coming again and again. What is the seed of this? It is like a tree growing, and then you see the tree bearing fruits, then ultimately dying. But the seed remains, and that seed keeps on sprouting again and again, bringing similar trees. So, that is applicable to everything, including this whole universe. It also goes into oblivion, what Einstein assumed or theorized as a singularity. Everything, it's a beautiful concept that everything is falling together under gravity. Not that this theory is all accepted by scientists, by everyone. Some accept, some don't. But there is an argument to that, that everything is falling together under gravity. This coming together under gravity will go on and on and on. Till even if there are, say, only a very few particles, they will keep on falling together and merging together into ultimately something that is nothing in dimensions. All time, all space will be compressed in that singularity. Or some later ideas call it black hole. Everything is sucked into that black hole. Or pre-Big Bang state. That is another idea that yes, everything is sucked into that pre-Big Bang state. And then a Big Bang occurs, time and space start projecting, and we get this universe. Again, it will meet the destruction when time and space will collapse, and we'll be back to that seed from which again. Now this word again is used in a different sense, not in the time sense, because time is collapsed there, the relative time. So Lord says it is that from me as such universes come about, dissolve. I am the undying seed of it. The seed doesn't die. That creation and sustenance, dissolution keep on happening in me. I am the unchanging seed of it. So, Lord tells that I am also the relative. In the 19th verse that we were seeing, Sadasat Chaham Arjuna, Sat means the relative truth and relative untruth. Lord is the ultimate truth which manifests in this world as Sat, means that which exists or is relatively real, or that which is relatively unreal, non-existent. This, for example, an idea of a unicorn. As an idea, it exists in the actual physical world. Nobody has really found it, but it is there in the in idea. So, the Sat and Asat, the relative existence and relative non-existence, both are included in this Lord. So, when we seek Lord, we get everything. And if we don't seek God, Not that we will get a few things, we will get only frustration, again and again we will get hit by disappointments, because what we are seeking then is only the shadows. He says that is how the situation appears, that the verse 20 and 21st, they are together, that we make tremendous efforts. That is like worship, in the sense that we are very methodical, very concentrated, put all our efforts. Come on, let us make a nuclear plant, put all energies there. It is kind of a preparation, a manufacturing, all efforts are there, focus is there, you collect all different ingredients, very difficult to get, and also you have to protect it so that it doesn't cause problems. It is so, all such things we seek, but what happens to them? Yes, they bring a sense of achievement for some time, and then the person again kind of hits the ground, that okay, what next? It is done, now what next? It is that question again and again reappears. Traividyamam somapaha putapapa yajnairishtva swargatim prarthayante te punyam asadya surendra lokam ashnanti divyan divideva bhogan tetam bhuktva swargalokam vishalam Kshine punye martyalokam vishanti evam trayi dharma manu prapanna gatagatam kama kama labhante. The Norse of the Vedas, purified from sense by drinking the soma juice and worshipping me with sacrifices, pray for access to heaven. They, having attained the meritorious sphere of Indra, experience the heavens, celestial enjoyment of the gods. Having enjoyed the extensive heavenly sphere, when their virtue is exhausted, they enter the mortal world. Thus, those who take refuge in the religion of the Vedas, desirous of enjoyment, go and come. Now here, the religion of the Vedas refers to what is called the ritualistic portion, where the rituals are performed for some earthly gains or some desires, fulfillment of certain desires. Now what happens that you perform a sacrifice or a big ritual to get to go to some happy spheres, more enjoyable things, like you, just to give an example, you know, these verses, they refer to some very ancient rituals and the ideas associated with them to get to those spheres where the enjoyment is more intense. So we go there, do lot of hard work to get there. Like a person feels, let me work hard now, then save some money, and then I will have a nice vacation. I will go on a 1 month long cruise trip. It is so that person works very hard, maybe saves quite a few $1,000s, with the family, friends, a book, a voyage on a cruise, thinking of lot of enjoyments. Okay, you get that. You then go to Caribbean or some such place, come back, do lot of photography, and after coming, you are back. That time is spent, and you are back again, where you have to again start your work. You look back, what did you achieve? You get a point to tell friends that you know, oh, that is wonderful. You must sometimes go there. Nothing like that. And that's about it. But you have to come back again and start your work. You cannot spend the time in vacation or just throughout. It is sometimes people say if you you become a monk and then the vacation all the time, they don't have any work. Yes, that is true. You have to become that. Otherwise, there is really not much of vacation. You have to keep on working. Then take a time off. That is called going to heaven, you know, all pleasures there. And I will be just relaxing, doing nothing. Well, you are spending some money that you have earned earlier, but how long will that last? After that is over, all the merit that you earned from those meritorious deeds, that will come to an end, and then you are back again. So, you have just added one more circle, that's all. And if you look at it, one circle more. Swami Vivekananda's poem is there, one circle more. That you do all that and come back again to back to square number one. And again you keep on thinking, let me work hard. Next time I can go to Africa instead of going to a cruise. I have done that. Let me go to Africa. And then well, same thing, you go have a big trip of Africa and come back and you tell people that I had gone to Africa, wonderful place, and it is so you come back again and again and go to heaven, enjoy things there and come back again. Again in the heaven also, not that everything is very peaceful or very, you are not that you are always happy, because you go there with the same mind, and so there are jealousies, there is anger, and or some of the expectations are not always met, and so the fuming and fretting and clenching the teeth, that doesn't stop even there. So you come back again and again. But if you are observant, you can get the lesson that this is not the way for perfection. This is not really what I had been seeking. And then the craving comes for the ultimate truth. So, Lord says, you come back again with this, add one more circle to your bondage. You know, one more bond is added now because you spend time in these things. But if you take lesson that this is not the way to ultimate satisfaction, then you can plan now life differently. That is why these things are given in the scriptures, because the desire for enjoyment from the objects is very strong. It doesn't just go away unless you try to get it. It is, therefore, the first part of the Vedas is full of that. Okay, you want enjoyment. We tell you how to get it. It is whatever enjoyment you like, we give it to you. It is, Vedas is kind of all, suppose think of a restaurant. where whatever you like is given to you. Every possible dish is available there. You have to just ask, and then it is there. So, whatever desire you have, just put it there. And the corresponding rituals you have to do, you will be told that, okay, you want a very strong, powerful son to be born to you, most intelligent, most powerful son to be born to you. Yeah, you have a desire for that. Okay, we will tell you how to do it. Do it, do this ritual, and you will get it. Okay, what next? Again, this ultimate solution doesn't come there. You got such a son. Now what next? So, therefore, you come back again. Next desire is there in the mind. Okay, now we want this. Okay, this is again another sacrifice that you have to perform. But the result is has one characteristic. All the results that you get from such things has one very specific and painful characteristic, that you do not get the real satisfaction from any of these things. And when by observation one learns it, then you turn the direction of your life towards God, that I don't want to run after those things now. I want truth. In Mundak Upanishad, that idea is very forcefully presented, that a person looks for all the different heavens, bringing all the fulfillment of many, many, many desires. But the desires, they keep on multiplying too. There is no stopping of the desires. The problem is that it is like the killing of that demon. In these mythologies, you get therefore the description of that demon. That demon is really the desires. That our desire is such that you try to kill it. That demon had that bone, that with the every drop of blood that falls from that demon, with every drop of blood, another demon of the same type and same capability springs up from that. So, our trying to satisfy one desire is like trying to kill that demon. Okay, this desire is coming up. Let me fulfill it, means let me now remove this demon. Let me kill it. But you go to kill it, and many desires similar again spring up from that. You have to deal with those. Now you deal with those, again many desires start springing out of them. There is no end to it. When one critically observes that, then finds out other way of removing the desire. So the Mundak Upanishad says that you go after fulfillment of these desires, but the person observes. The word they use is examines, observes, pariksha. Pariksha lokan karma chitan, that the person observes that what is this that I got after all this? It is all transient. It all brings dissatisfaction. It is not that I have got immortality and perfection through any of these. So, therefore, that person concludes that through observance of such rituals, you cannot arrive at the divine, because that is not a product of these rituals. And so to get that which is not product of these activities, that person then turns the life. It says that forgetting that, that person therefore approaches the Guru. Pariksha lokan karma chitan brahmano nirvedamayat. That person then gets fired with the spirit of giving up this useless activity. You know, as long as one didn't realize that it is useless, you keep on doing it. Once you realize that it is useless, then you give it up. You don't do it again and again, like the kids are busy with all their toys. They find that it is most important thing to be busy with them, to make a sand, that castle, that is so important in life. One has to make that sand castle. That is the child's idea, and so makes the castle. But that very child, when gets grown up, and now that fellow doesn't think that this is the most important thing in life. So the ideas come and go like that. So this person also sees that all that I had been running after, they were transitory things. Now let me change my life to something that does not come and go, that cannot be really obtained through the works either, because that which cannot come and go is ever present. So it is not a point of your achieving it through efforts. What you achieve through efforts, it is a logically very simple truth, but psychologically so difficult to appreciate. We understand logically that our efforts are limited. Nobody is going to do unlimited efforts. The efforts are limited. Howsoever focused and hard working a person may be, that how much effort will be done, it will be limited effort. And limited efforts cannot yield unlimited results. The result of limited effort has to be finite something. And finite means what? It comes to an end. So if I am seeking that which does not come to an end, then the efforts, the works cannot give that. So I have to know that truth by which one becomes immortal, infinite. And since that is not product of a work, this person therefore goes to a teacher to learn it. That to know that guru meva abhigachet tad vijnanartham, to know that this person goes to guru, to a teacher. Who has a teacher here means the one who has realized this truth and thus can distribute it, can tell you the way. Like a person who knows how to get to a place, he has gone there many times, and so can guide others as to how to get there. So that is called guru there, or a teacher, and so can show the path. Hey, please do like this and you will get there. If not, you will keep on circling a lot again and again. It is sometimes our roads in this area are so funny. You keep on circling around. A person who was to come here was calling me 4 or 5 times that I am right here within a mile, but cannot see how to get there. It is because of the maze of one ways and this and that and not the. So the person was just again and again going on. And then called me and I said, now you see, stop your efforts. Park at a place and then just tell me the street where you are parked and somebody will go and bring you. So that seems to be the easiest course. It is like that we are lost here. Again and again we come to the same thing. That person was coming to the same street again and again. And we come to the same thing again and again in life. And do not get what we are seeking. So, you therefore stop and call the Guru. It is you find a sage who is there and so therefore can guide you how to get there. So that sage then guides you to that place and you are there. And it is not much of a problem, not much of a labor. What you need to do is just change the direction. Nothing else is really needed. It is the simplest thing. To realize God is the simplest thing. Don't believe it? It is, Vishwanath, you believe it, is it not? To realize God is the simplest thing. Naomi, do you believe? To realize God is the easiest thing. Because it is right with us. And we say that all the time, that God is within us. So, you don't have to run away somewhere to get God. God is with you. Easiest thing. What is therefore needed is to stop the maddening activity of running out. That is the essence of spiritual practice. It is told earlier also in Bhagavad Gita that therefore that it is really Viyogam Yoga Uchyate. It is really Viyog means disjoining, and that is by allegorically called joining or yoga. Yoga means bringing together. Viyoga means disjoining. So, you don't have to really join with your true nature. What by yoga, what actually is done is disjoining to the false things. You are joined already to the false things. Unreal goals. You are running after them. So, cut that idea. We have the idea, I will have a very happy, peaceful family. That is a mirage. No, it is not not a reality. Because it is very much against the concept of this having a family. It is... you can have it, but don't have that idea. So, it is if it is necessary as a matter of course, have it. But let us not entertain the idea that it will be then so happy, so peaceful. All the struggle in life will then come to fruition. Sometimes the young men and women, unfortunately some grown up also, they entertain such ideas that if I get this, then it will be all sweet and honey. That is what that idea we have to cut. No, there is no end of struggle there. We have many such ideas that make us go outward, go where the thing is not. The satisfaction and happiness is within. So what we have to do is stop running outwards. And thus, when you stop it, you are that. You don't have to do anything else. That it is, you don't have to really do anything else for you or that. It is to just to stop that. But one doesn't realize unless one makes the efforts and becomes really thoroughly tired. It is, one friend of mine comes to me, many times he comes and says that, "Oh Swami, I am really tired of this married life. You really don't understand that how much trouble." But then immediately he says, "No, I don't complain against my wife. Not that she is very good, in fact. But these are the compulsions." Okay, but then stop it. It is not easy because of the tremendous momentum. The desires achieved, that desires that have gotten hold of us, that is really the difficult part of it. It is to cut it, that viyoga, the disjoining. That disjoining is by allegorically called as joining. You don't have to join with yourself. You are always joined with yourself. You cannot separate from yourself. Nobody can separate from oneself. One can separate from husband or wife or this or that. It is, in fact, that separation has to come. You cannot keep two things together eternally. They have to be separated. It is in poetry. It is all right that we will be together lives after lives. In India, with that concept being there, that this pledge, the marriage here in the Christian, this thing is at least unto the death parts. But in India, with Hindus, life after life, you see. It is. In fact, the women perform one worship also. To saying that, well, let me have the same husband life after life. And one lady told me, it was that day that the worship is performed. I asked her, "Are you not going to perform that worship?" She said, no, life after it. If I can manage this life, that is good enough. not life after life. I don't want that at all. So, it is, because whatever comes together, that has to fall apart also. You cannot keep that. But you can never get separated from yourself. Just even the idea becomes impossible. That you are always yourself. It is, you don't have to do anything else. Just stop becoming, stop trying to become something else. And that is all that is needed to be done. It doesn't take effort to become yourself. Only to stop trying to become something else, that is to be done. So, Lord says that the next verse is very beautiful, consoling verse. "Don't be afraid that who will take care of me if I decide to devote myself to God? Who will take care of me? Who will take care of my family? Who will do all the things that depend on me?" We have this problem that it is, we don't want to realize God. We say we want, but we are worried more about the things here. It is the story of Prahlada says like that Prahlada got the a vision of the Lord, and Lord said, "Yes, Prahlada, now you can come with me, stay with me in the heaven all the time. It is all peace, happiness. You are with the Self. You are immortal." Prahlada was very compassionate for all the ignorant people, his friends and others. He said, "Going myself alone with you, Lord, let me, let all others also come." Lord knew, so Lord said, "Okay, whosoever wants to come, they are welcome. Go and ask." Now they woke. He started asking people. Came to Yogatmananda. Just imagine, Yogatmananda, come. It is, let us go to the abode of the Lords. Lord is so great. There is nothing lacking there. All happiness, total peace. Won't you like to go there? "Yes, yes, Prahlada, I would certainly like to go. But, I have to manage this Vedanta society. So, after that I will come. It is foolishness. But, I have to take somebody as Yogatmananda has probably that bondage. President Obama will say, "Well, right now I cannot come. This term will be over by another. I have to again contest, and then after I finish my two terms, then I will be done. Then I can think of coming there." And then, of course, other things crop up after that. It is, nobody is free. Prahlada did not find a single person ready to come with him to Lord. Somebody had wanted this, somebody needed this, somebody needed to take care of this. They are not ready to go to heaven. It is only those who can drop their net, like Jesus told those fishermen, "Come on, drop your nets, come with me." They did not think for a second. They dropped their nets and followed the Lord. Only they get it. It is, if we think of my fishing net and let me look at my catch, let me sell this, then I will think of coming, and then we get caught into it. So the next verse is dealing with that situation. We shall talk about it later as to who will take care of my life here. I am a devotee, no doubt I want Lord. But then what about my business? What about my family? What about my personal care? I am getting old, I need money to survive. Who will give me that? It is all such thoughts come to us, preventing us from joining to our true Self. We shall discuss that next Friday. Any questions? Yes, Charles?
You said that if you attain God, you attain everything. But the closest thing we know of to samadhi is deep sleep. Yet I don't remember a feeling of bliss from deep sleep. Why is that?
Well, the deep sleep brings you the bliss, but that is in sleep, so you don't know it. You don't remember it. It is. And that is the closest, only as an analogy, as an allegory, and not that it is really in this world what we can think of the maximum happiness, that is in sleep. All other things bring a reaction of unpleasantness. Yes, it is. Really, we don't have to even imagine it. And we have to just think that lacking. If I lack something, then only I run after it. If I don't lack anything, I don't run after anything. So, this understanding, that is why this understanding has to dawn. And the understanding, dawning of the understanding has two aspects. The intellectual understanding and the practical training associated with it. Both have to go hand in hand to get that clear understanding that I don't need really anything but Lord.
And I also read that if you seek your own liberation, you go to hell, but if you seek the liberation of others, then you attain your own liberation.
Yeah, so it is a very nice phrase to prevent us from becoming selfish. The question that if I seek my own liberation, I go to hell. It is, my own is the keyword there. My own means you want to retain your little self. And then that is no liberation. It is in that sense it is told there. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarai Yasvayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapadmadvinasrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantrah Tasya Namani Yani Karmapyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamas